2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As we wrap up this little mini-series, walking together through our theme passage for 2021. I promised you at the end of 2020 that we would use the month of January to introduce some things for to you that would strengthen our church in the coming year. And so we've introduced to you our theme passage, 2 Corinthians 4. And I finally figured out, I drew a line under 2 Corinthians 4 and I added it all up. 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2. And the sum total of 2 Corinthians 4 is proclaiming the glorious gospel for the glory of God. That's what it totals up to. If you exegete 2 Corinthians 4, if you do the word study, you do the context study, you do the paragraph study, you do the plain and simple, this is what Paul is saying in black and white, and you add it all up, he's talking about proclaiming the glorious gospel for the glory of God. That was Paul's passion. That's what he lived for. And if you remember last Sunday morning, I asked you that very question. What are you living for? What are you passionate about? What moves you? What drives you? What makes you happy? What makes you angry? What makes you sad? Those are your core values. That's really the furnace that keeps you warm all year round. Okay, and Paul's furnace was preaching the glorious gospel for the glory of God. So we've introduced that theme to you, and I'm finishing up 2 Corinthians 4, even though the paragraph and the thought that Paul is on track with spills over into chapter 5. So we're going to start at the end of chapter 4 this morning, and we're going to do the spillover. We don't recognize numbered chapter divisions when they interrupt paragraphs of thought as this one does. We just blow right on through it like some people in Fairbanks do stoplights, okay? We just go right on through it. So we've introduced the theme and the theme passage. And we've introduced to you, to support that, the exchange seminar coming in March. That's the practical application of the Word of God. Isn't it great that we as a church family, we try not to simply admire the Word of God and preach it, but we want to administer the Word of God in our lives and practice it. And so if we see in the Word of God that the glorious gospel preached and proclaimed brings glory to God, you and I should be sharpening our skill set and putting more tools in our toolbox that allows us greater ability and more opportunity to share the gospel with unsaved people. As a matter of fact, if you have the ability to share the gospel through just a little bit of training in God's Word and a little bit of motivation from God's Word, you're going to be far more likely to share the gospel when God puts the opportunity in front of you. And I'm not talking about a forced situation. I've told you before that in spite of all of the crazy things that happen, the crazy providential things that seem to happen to my wife and I when we do travel, when we leave this fenced-in area here, there's oftentimes things happen and we see them as providential for the sake of the gospel, and they just naturally unfold without us forcing it. But I don't tell you about the many, many times when nothing happens. We don't have to force the Holy Spirit into doing a work. And that's not the pressure being put on you. This seminar isn't about guilting everyone into witnessing to someone every single day the rest of your life. That may not be the Holy Spirit's leading. It may not be His working. It may not be His will. But what it is, what we try and do in this congregation, in our church family, is equip, whether it is for victory over sin, or encouragement in the time of discouragement, or tools for evangelism and reaching out to the lost, we try and equip believers with what we all need to mature and grow up in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we give you those tools, which are centered around truths from God's Word, you're far more likely to be victorious in your daily walk and in your thought life and in your words and in your temperament, if you will. You're far more likely to be victorious in those areas if you have biblical truth that applies to those areas in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, and at the forefront of your thinking. And then we could go through all the other categories like that too, but I won't for sake of time. So, as promised, we have spent this month setting the tone for 2021, and this being the last Sunday in January, at the close of this service, I want to give a little security talk that we've been wanting to give. To be honest with you, I thought I already gave it, and if some of you recognize parts of it, please tell me I already gave it and that I'm not going crazy. But either my wife skipped church on that day, or I didn't give it, because she's right 100% of the time. Okay? Yeah. I'm just getting brownie points here. Actually, she's right 99.9% of the time. And just last night, she really helped me out because I had two sticky notes next to each other on the kitchen counter reminding me of two appointments tomorrow at 11 a.m., and I can't be in both places at one time. And thankfully, my wife pointed it out. So I got a hold of one of the individuals and moved that appointment, Brother Lane. And unless you're going to have lunch with me tomorrow in my doctor's office, I can't do both at the same time. So I have a regularly scheduled doctor's appointment, and then I was going to do lunch with Lane. TMI, I know. But my wife spotted that. She's like, "Hon, do you know that you have scheduled yourself to be two places at the same time, 11 a.m. Monday morning?" So thank goodness for my wife. And I'm going to give that little security speech at the close of this service to close it out. And then that's going to wrap up. We've done the finances with the budget team meeting and the business meeting. And we've done the theme passage and the theme phrase, and promoting the exchange seminar. If you understand, we're using January to really set the tone and the direction, the aura, if you will, of the church for the coming year. And my prayer is that everyone will participate in as many things as you possibly can. Not to keep you busy. I've already told you a minute ago, it isn't our goal to make your life more hectic. But it is our goal, and it's our calling, the pastors and the deacons and the leaders of this church, those who communicate the word, it is our calling to equip the believers, to equip the saints, and that's our burden for 2021. So proclaiming the glorious gospel for the glory of God, today we bring this theme passage series to a conclusion, and next Sunday morning I want to start, Lord willing, an 11-month series through the Gospel of John. And I'm looking forward to that. I love that book, and the last time I preached through it was 1997. And so I'm looking forward to preaching through the Gospel of John once again. But this morning, I want to talk to you from the Word of God on this subject, the blessing of seeing beyond. The blessing of seeing beyond. The eyes of faith are the eyes of the soul. The eyes of faith are the eyes of the soul, and they see what God sees by believing His word in all matters, upon every, wherever and whatever God's word speaks to. We believe it by faith, and when we believe it by faith, then we can understand things that the unsaved world cannot. And the clearest example of this is in Hebrews 11, long about verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That has to be accepted by faith because we were not there. Neither was the evolutionist there when they say that the secular atheistic humanist who says all things began by an accident. And so on and so on. Not going to go down that road. But they weren't there either. So really, that is a faith system to believe that. At least we admit it. And when we look at science today and we look at scientific evidence, we read it through the eyes of faith and we see very clearly, wow, this evidence points to a sudden, spontaneous production of this material that happened. And of course, the one side calls it the Big Bang. We call it the spoken command of God. God spoke and it happened. You see, so through the eyes of faith, which are the eyes of the soul, we see what God sees by believing his word in all matters. And that's exactly where Paul brings this paragraph of thought in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 to a conclusion. Because last week I gave you several things that motivated Paul to preach the gospel. I won't review those right now. But he says in verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to" what? "The glory of God." That's why everything is in existence today, is for the glory of God. So when we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ by the way we live, it brings glory to God. When we respond to certain situations that God allows into our lives, like he did in the life of Job, when we respond in a Christ-like manner, it brings glory to God. When we proclaim the glorious gospel of Christ, it brings glory to God. And all things, Paul says, redound to the glory of God. For which cause, and this is where we left off last week, for which cause we ain't quitting. You remember that Greek phrase? For which cause we ain't quitting. We faint not. Even though, Paul says, our outward man hurts. Paul says, I'm in pain. He likely was, his body was racked not just with natural degrading of the body by aging like arthritis. Some believe Paul had an eye ailment that practically blinded him. Some theologians believe that because how he told the churches of Galatia he's writing with such a large letter, writing using large letters. There's little hints like that. We can't be sure. And then Paul's body had been beaten. Paul's bones had been broken. Paul had been in many dingy, dark, dismal dungeons and spent much time there. So this guy could not have been in good health. But he says, even though our outward man perish, and the insinuation here is his outward man, Paul had aged far quicker than others because of this passion for proclaiming the gospel and the willingness to pay any price to do it. So he said, even though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We see this. That one of the blessings of seeing beyond with the eyes of our soul, the eyes of faith, is it refreshes the inner man. No matter what's going on around us, and no matter the pain that we're experiencing, no matter the suffering, no matter the fatigue, no matter what's going on with the body and the mind, when we see beyond through the eyes of faith and we reach through time and space with our spiritual hand and we grab a hold of eternal things like Paul did, it refreshes our soul. It is refreshing. And you cannot do that apart from getting into the Holy Bible, the Word of God. If you're not in the Word, You can't see beyond. You can't reach through time and space and material things and grab hold of immaterial things. You cannot do that. You can't grasp the eternal if you're not in the eternal word. But when we do, it refreshes the soul. Secondly, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that brings to mind what James said, that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And boy, did I ever think of that, and you probably did too, last Sunday night when Brother Myron Philippi, bless his heart. Okay, that's a southern phrase, that you can say anything about anyone you want as long as you precede it or conclude it with bless their heart. And bless his heart, that guy has been staying in our basement. Bless my heart, he's with Russ Posey right now at Kenny Lake. Okay? And that's a blessing to my heart because I need a break. The guy is 87 years young and I can't keep up with him. He keeps finding stuff in that basement that needs repair. And finally, I blurted out to him one day, I said, Brother Myron, yeah, because he's like, I'm doing all these projects for you. I'm helping for you. I said, yeah, but 90% of the project is me running your errands to get your stuff here so you can do the 10%. And one day, hey, the faucet down there, drip, 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 drip. Don't bother me. I can't hear it upstairs. And honestly, he couldn't hear it downstairs, but he knew that faucet was dripping. And he bugged me about that for two solid days. And finally, I went down there. I'm not lying to you. This is not preaching. I'm telling the truth. I went down there with a hammer. And I said, tell me where to hit. Because he's like, I tried to fix the gasket with Vaseline. He tried to revive the gasket. And I said, well, obviously that didn't work because it's drip, 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 drip. And he says, I just need you to turn the hot water off. I can't crawl down under there. What made him think I can do that any easier? I don't know, because I'm 62 going on 87. He's 87 going on 60. But I opened the doors, just like these right here. I opened the doors, and I got down on my knees, and oh, that hurt my knees. And I reach under there, and I'm trying to turn that valve off, and it wouldn't budge. It was corroded. So that's why I went and got the hammer. And I started tapping it. Tapping, hoping to tighten that thing. Turn it off or loosen it or something. I don't even know what I was hoping to do. Just get it to move so this guy can get the hot water turned off because he wanted to take the whole thing apart. And I'm thinking in my mind, this will occupy him for a couple hours and I can do some church work during that time. This is all true. So I started tapping on it. He said, don't break it. I said, yeah. I said, Brother Myron. I stood up then. We're friends. We can talk this way. And I'm in this exact volume. I said, Brother Myron, we're about to break something under there and create a lot bigger problem than a dripping faucet. And folks, I'm not lying to you. I reached over to the hot water knob. You know, the thing you use to turn it off and on up top. And I just turned it a little bit and the dripping stopped. And I don't know if he's embarrassed or not, but here's what he said. He said, I know you can turn it off that way, but it needs to be fixed. I just walked out. And here's what I said, because we were supposed to be going to visit a Spanish-speaking man and share the gospel with him. Man recently lost his wife. We're supposed to be going on this visit. This is a detour. And I was frustrated. So on the way out the garage door, I said, you can mess with that or you can come do ministry, but I'm out of here. And he grabbed his coat and followed me. So we went on, we did. Frustrating, right? I don't even know where I was headed with all that, except this. Okay, here's where I was headed. Last Sunday night, that guy, folks, he showed us 50 years of ministry in Latin America in 10 minutes. And I thought to myself, that's how fast it goes by. I mean, and that's why Paul says, for our light affliction, which is just for a moment. I guess Paul, maybe Paul didn't even preach the gospel quite 50 years. I'm not going to do the math on that right now, because math is not my 40. You know what I mean? Math is not my forte. It's not my area. So I'm just saying, maybe Paul didn't quite do the gospel ministry 50 years. He knew it was gone. It was going. And whatever he suffered could not even compare to eternity. When you and I get a hold of that truth, here's what happens. Verse 17, seeing eternity with the eyes of the soul refreshes the soul, and secondly, reaches for the reward. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the reason the reward is so much greater is because our rewards in eternity are for eternity. And our suffering here is not forever. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even compare. And then, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And that word look, I studied that word look, and it means to peer, to search, to contemplate intently, to meditate upon, to focus upon. And the illustration I thought of, forgive me, because this is the guys and Lisa are going to be able to relate to this one. The guys and Lisa. Because it's the same thing as looking through a spotting scope and trying to figure out if a doll sheep is legal or not. That kind of intensity is what Paul is talking about when he says, while we look, we stare, we study, we meditate, we contemplate, we place value on this thing that is in our lens, it's in our scope, while we look not at the things which are seen. So the things of this life, if we spend an inordinate amount of time studying those things, looking at those things, placing too much value on those things, it can rob us of the reward of living for eternal values. And Paul says, we don't do that. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, like our houses, our cars, our jobs, our money. And not to say that we don't need those things, but we don't need to live for those things. We need to live for the invisible, because the invisible, as Paul says, last word of verse 18, eternal. The invisible things are eternal. And so, looking with the eyes of our soul, the eyes of faith, and seeing beyond this life into the next resets our values. It refreshes the soul. It helps us reach for reward. It resets our values. Chapter 5, verse 1, I told you the paragraph spills over there. It reminds us of heavenly things, because he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, or a body of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, or waiting for us in the heavens. We have a glorified body waiting for us in heaven. And so when, by the eyes of faith, when we reach for the eternal, it reminds us of heavenly things. And then it revives our desire for God. Verse 2, for in this we groan. That is, in this body, in this life, in the midst of these tribulations, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Not just for the relief of pain, and not just to be relieved from the fear of death, but I hope the greatest cause of your groaning and mine is to be relieved, as Paul said in Romans 7, from the presence and the power of sin. Because Paul cried out, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this corrupt body, this tempted body, this body that's tormented by sin day in and day out?" And Paul then gave the answer. He said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he said through Jesus Christ because Christ is the one that's going to shout the command. He's the one that's going to give the command to blow the trumpet. He's the one that's going to rapture these old bodies and give us that glorified body. And that glorified body knows no sin. And so when we look beyond by the eyes of faith, it revives our desire for God and we begin to groan for God. Have you ever groaned to be right with God? Have you ever groaned to walk closer to the Lord? These are desires that believers should have. And then lastly, verses 3 through 6a, when we exercise our faith, we look into the Word of God with the eyes of faith, and we begin to understand and reach for eternal things, it reassures us of God's promises. Verse 3, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle," and found naked means without a body. We have this temporal body, this clay on earth, but God has a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Paul says, when we discard this body, we want God to give us that glorified body. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan," there's that word again, "being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." He's saying we want that new and glorified body because it is eternal. We don't ever have to trade it in. It doesn't age. It doesn't hurt. It's never tempted. It never yields to temptation. It never strays from the presence of God. Paul says, "That's the one I want, and I groan for that." He reaches for that. He desires that. And he clings to the promises of God regarding that. And he says in verse 5, "Now he that has wrought us," or really redeemed us, "for this purpose is God." That's what, I'm going to read it to you in the King James English, but it sure helps to clarify because when my dog barks, and I don't have a dog, but if I had a dog and he barked, he wouldn't say "barketh, barketh, barketh," or "woofeth, woofeth, woofeth." Okay, when your dog barks, you understand what he's saying. Because he's not barking in King James English. So sometimes it helps to clarify because we live in 2021, not 1611 or before. All right, so I'm just telling you why I clarify things. Because if people cannot understand the Word of God, they cannot obey it. "Now he that redeemed us for," let me read it to you in the, like it is. "Now he that wrought us for the self same thing is God." I don't have a clue. Don't ask me what that means. I don't have a clue. It might as well be Greek until I study it out. And for studying it out, I like the Amplified Bible. I like the New King James. For comparison, I like the ESV, English Standard Bible, which is very literal. I don't like transliterations necessarily or paraphrases. But I still look at them just out of curiosity and interest. But I like it when you can look at other translations and it explains it so that I understand that it means, "Now he that has redeemed us for this purpose is God." And in so doing, and what purpose did he redeem us for? Well, the purpose of all things is what? Proclaiming the gospel, the glorious gospel for the what? The glory of God. The purpose of all things is the glory of God. Why did God redeem us? And why is he going to give us a glorified body? Why is he going to take us from the presence and power of sin? Why? For his glory. And that's what Paul's saying in verse 5. "He that has redeemed us, he that has done this work for this purpose is God. And in so doing, in that process, God has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Meaning, the same thing we use the word earnest for today, when someone gives you earnest money for a vehicle or an item that they want to purchase, but they've got to go to the bank and get the rest of the money. Here, I'll give you $500 earnest money. Give me a receipt. This money tells you I'm coming back in 2 hours with the other $2,000 because I want this used vehicle. That earnest money says to that person, I promise I'm coming back. And God has given us the earnest of the Holy Spirit. And he's telling us by that, I'm coming back to claim you as my own and give you a glorified body. And that's what God wants us living for. And if we are living for the eternal, if we are living with that promise in view, and we get into the Word and we let the Word of God reassure us of these great promises, then when the Second Roman Empire begins to crumble all around our heads like it is today, it doesn't shake us to the very marrow of our souls. Instead, we have a peace and a calmness, not a carelessness, not a carefree attitude. I'm not celebrating the events of 2020, and neither are you. But neither am I going to pieces, neither am I contemplating suicide. My life doesn't end if the Republican Party ends, come on. My life is hid with Christ in God. And God's word is the anchor of my soul. And so no matter what happens around us, it could be pandemics, it can be rioting, it can be corrupt politics, it can be the crumbling of our country, it can be the burning of our Constitution. Do those things cause me to weep? Yeah, they cause me to cry. They break my heart, but they don't end my life because my life is hid with Christ in God, as we read a while ago from God's word. And so when we reach beyond, when we reach through time and history and material things and this brief life, and we grab a hold of eternal things, it reassures us of God's great promises. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts and lives today to strengthen us, to encourage us, to convict us, to comfort us, all of those emotions. Lord, I really believe that when people come to church to hear the word of God, and they're intent on getting a blessing from the word of God, we experience all kinds of emotions in that. Because your word supplies so many different things that we need in our souls. Thank you, O God. I pray that 2021, regardless of what 2021 is in the USA and the rest of the world, may 2021 be a glorious year of victory and seeing souls brought to Christ and discipled in this little church family and in our own homes. Lord, may you be glorified in us and through us in 2021. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Pastor Brian.